welcome to day 5 of the Everyday Novelist NaNoWriMo write-through, featuring me, J. Daniel Sawyer.
And me, Kitty Nakian.
And
Tori.
And
Alexis.
And finally,
me, Gail Carriger. Hi.
Hi. It's day 5, and boy, what a day I had. Get to me later. Tori, how was your day today?
Not too bad. I have it written on my hand. 928 words.
Hey, is that the number of words today or your total?
Today.
That's today. Okay, that's great. So look at you go.
Congratulations.
I'm just going to sit on that one for a while. We'll see what happens.
Excellent. How about you, Kitty? What was your word count today?
My total word count is 1202.
1202, giving you 422 words for today. Alexis, how about you?
What is your
zero.
Oh, 0 words today. Okay.
Yeah, I need to figure out how to schedule the rest of my life so that I am able to schedule writing.
That's something helps. We've all wrestled with. Mm-hmm. How about you, Gail? How did you do today?
My total for today is 53169,
giving you 1,023 for today.
Cool.
And I was knocked out by a nasty, nasty migraine and only managed to recover in the last couple of hours. So I only got, my total is 10,489, giving me 1,763 for today, which is annoying because I was hoping to knock 4,000 out, but
so terrible. Only 17.
Yes.
Well, we're not competing against each other. We're competing against ourselves.
I have to say, I really did not want to write today. And the fact that I had to report in to you guys and that I was doing nano is the only reason I even opened the document and then I wrote. So,
excellent.
It really did its job today. That's for sure.
Excellent.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, how was the day for everybody?
Well, like I said, it was good for me. I was really reluctant to write, and then it went great. And I had, you know, some crazy meetings and a bunch of other stuff happening. So, but I still managed to do it. So I'm pretty happy with that accomplishment. And I have gotten my characters into a epic situation where a couple of people are about to blow students off of a mountaintop. Literally.
Nice.
I've introduced a microburst, which I have experienced myself, so I'm writing from personal
you have.
Experience. Yeah, I've experienced a microburst before.
I've never gotten to experience one. We're moving to an area that evidently has them from time to time, so I'm a little bit worried about how to construct the roof so it doesn't get ripped off if one ever hits us.
Yeah, I was in Cleveland. I was visiting Cleveland at the time, so I went to school in Ohio for 4 years, and Ohio is tornado country. Not that many microbursts, but this was a microburst, and it was crazy. and I was in it because I was a dumb Californian visiting a dumb Californian, and my friend Reg was fine, but I remember holding on to his back and literally being lifted up by the wind. So I was vertical to the ground. It was crazy.
So you were outside when it happened.
I was outside. We immediately took refuge in a nearby building as soon as we could. And then went up to like the 15th floor and looked out at it through the windows because, again, dumb Californians. But
of course.
So I know what it looks like on multiple levels, including coming at you. It's microbursts are insane. They're crazy. I've never experienced a tornado, but I have done.
That's a downward wind, right?
A microburst is a tornado without a spin to it. So it's like a real fast cross and updraft that's created by the same kind of phenomena as a tornado. So it can also involve like sleet and stuff. The one I experienced was mostly dust and wind. And it looks like this like black wall kind of roaring towards you. It's crazy looking. It looks like a tidal wave, but at least the one that I experienced did.
Nice.
Yeah.
I've been near several tornadoes, but never a microburst. Back when I was a real little kid living in Dallas, we had tornadoes all the time, and watching the sky go green and seeing the funnel touch down across town, you're like, hey, I hope it didn't come this way.
Yeah, I've never experienced one, but I'll probably have to put one in the book at some point since I deal with all the...
For the listeners, if you ever write one of those, one of the things about Midwestern houses is they're all constructed with the bathroom in the center for tornado protection. For houses that don't have basements, you're supposed to gather in the bathroom during a tornado, and that way the rest of the house goes first.
And the bathroom is
Why not any other room that's in the center?
It's the only room in the center. They put it in the dead center of the house, and then they build it stronger. They, like, put tie-downs on the studs and whatnot, so it's less likely to lift off.
Is there any reason that's the bathroom in specific?
No idea.
Waste management. Never mind.
That's a good theory.
I honestly
don't know why I didn't think of that.
I honestly have no idea. I just...
That's the way that they were building them, at least back in the 80s when I was living there.
Interesting.
And if you live in certain parts of the Southeast, they just don't care. And you ride it out with like a little, with your surfboard in the middle of the eye of the hurricane, and you just like go with it. You just make the best of it.
Oh, nice.
The hurricane surfboard. Everyone has
hurricane.
One.
We've all had the eye of the hurricane parties, right? Am I right? No? Okay. Just me.
Now, I've just been on the outskirts of hurricanes, never in the middle. Yeah.
Love it. Not really, but
last time I was in a hurricane, I was like 8, and I just remember boarding up the windows and waiting for the rain, and then the next day all the ditches were like sky high.
Yeah, that's what we ride the canoes in, the ditches that are filled with water. Yeah. You know what? There's not a lot to do sometimes. In the middle of nowhere, you just do what you got.
Hey, go with what you got. It's better than playing video games.
Absolutely.
I can't relate to any of that, to be honest.
Oh, no, just
natural disasters? Snowstorms, and that's about it.
Oh.
No natural disasters where you are?
Not really.
No, they've only got, where she is, they've only got one natural disaster.
Oh, hey, we've had fires.
Oh, fires,
that
yeah.
counts. I mean, they weren't in my area.
Wait, are you up
I just,
the Pacific
I could see them. Yeah. Yeah.
So you could have a volcano at some point if you're very lucky.
Or the big
Cascadia slip earthquake that'll liquefy the whole Willamette Valley there.
That would be a lot of luck.
Well, I remember having a long argument in my undergraduate days about like which parts of the country had their various natural disasters and which ones were scarier. And she, who was from Ohio, was like, it's like, yeah, but earthquake. I'm never going to California because of the earthquakes. And I was like, what? Why? And she's like, because you don't know when they're going to happen. She's like, at least with a tornado or a hurricane, you know, you get warning and stuff. And I was like, that's what makes them scarier. It's anticipation.
That makes them scarier, but less deadly.
True,
actually, they're more deadly because, well, with an earthquake, the house, at least on the West Coast, the houses are built to withstand them.
Until the bridge collapses.
Houses and trailer parks don't withstand tornadoes very well.
It was just a funny, like, I mentioned it simply because that's kind of an allegory for storytelling,
yep,
right?
True.
Like, in one example, it's like, surprise! And occasionally your readers will be annoyed if they haven't had, like, earthquake warning. And, yet, yep. but this is, I actually did it with this one. I was like, I've already had an earthquake, but I needed a surprise. And so like the microburst comes in and they haven't had a warning. And that's actually a plot twist because usually they get a warning. So now I have to figure out why they didn't get a warning.
How about you?
Sailboats don't survive tornadoes very well.
Well, I don't know. They might fly.
They don't survive very well.
And they don't survive portal tornadoes either.
Oh, because that's your story. So how is your story going?
They've landed on a beach and they're talking.
Well, so, that's probably good.
Yeah.
Is it warm?
I didn't know there was going to be multiple characters.
There are. I tried writing this story last year and there were only two characters and I couldn't get any action because there was nobody to interact with. And that is... something
not good for a story.
So no people already on the island? I would never say anything.
Nope, no idea yet.
Hopefully me.
How about you, Tori? You wrote a lot. How was yours today?
So I just literally did basically a word vomit and just after writing your rant and then working and tutoring, and I just for 2 hours just wrote. It's very disjointed. I wrote a lot of dialogue, which I dislike very much. But also sort of like the thoughts and the big questions about fear and about how people interpret fear and what people are afraid of and things like that. So that helped me to get more into it because those are things that I've been thinking about more often in the past month or so. Especially since watching things that I'm watching. I'm like, oh, this is helpful. Yeah, that was very helpful. It was a pretty good day. But it was pretty disjointed. It wasn't anything that it was like, okay, I have this very linear, structured thing. But I think that's how I have to do it right now because my brain is disjointed from all of the other work that I'm doing. And I think that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's so. Fine. So long as you're getting words on the page, that's all that matters.
Yeah. So I feel okay about it.
Good.
I just got a critique back on a short story that I sent out to my betas, and they were like, this feels very stream of consciousness-ish. And I was like, yeah, that's how I write it. I wrote it like stream of consciousness. So nice. I picked up on
Good. I've done what I sought out to do.
It's very funny.
Well, our conversation last night helped me out quite a lot. I figured out great. My big personalities, and they're all at the dinner table, the first dinner aboard the spaceship, and getting to know each other. Go, why are you going to Mars? Oh, why are you going to Mars? And it's giving them a chance to really
connect.
Not just connect, but to really pop. So they're starting to get really distinct personalities, and at least their cover story motivations are all on display now, so it gives the readers something to sink their teeth into. And right before I came up here, the captain had just been on the hot seat to tell us why you got this shit assignment commanding this crew of reality TV stars. And so he claimed that he was on probation from fraternizing with one of the passengers on his last command. And so they're like, oh, well, tell us about her. Was it a him? What, you know, blonde or brunette? And he says, blonde. Actually, I'm not sure if it was a her or a him. How could you not know? Well, I was in a rush and it was a golden retriever. So, and that's where I left it. So,
damn, probation only.
Deary, deary me. Oh, boy.
I'm trying to figure out. In general, 10 to 4 p.m. is my social time.
Mm-hmm.
Or not 4 p.m., 4 a.m. Mm-hmm. Generally, I'll try to cut it at least midnight. But, like, sometimes, you know, good conversations. Like, mm-hmm. They don't happen before midnight very often.
Especially not when you're your age.
Good point. But if I wasn't trying to reserve that time for that, I'd probably use it for writing. And I'm not sure what to do with that.
You could have writing be the thing that you do unless you're in a good conversation.
That's fair. All right.
It's like you could record a certain conversation that's interesting to you since you're looking for different conversations.
Or in maybe terms just take of notes.
How to create dialogue, I was thinking. Obviously not word
notes
for word.
Notes would probably be better.
Yeah. Take little notes on that and
just for help in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right.
So when do you sleep? Question.
Sometimes.
Not much.
I remember being that age.
Same.
I never wake up before 9. So I usually at least get 6 hours. Okay. I definitely need more than that. I generally try to get 9 hours.
Good.
But really the 12 to 4 thing is not frequent. It's a fluke.
Okay.
I usually go to bed at midnight.
Okay, good. I think that's acceptable. Sometimes. Yeah. Oh, I will never say that. I won't say that.
For about 15 years, I went on 4 hours of sleep and loved it.
And then I hit my mid-30s and my body was like, okay, no more of that for you.
God. Maybe
you
must sleep full nights.
Say what?
That might be contributing to my headaches.
Oh, yeah, oh, for yeah. sure.
That and yep. maybe just drinking more water. That's the one thing I'm like.
Yeah. Are you drinking enough water? Let's see. What is the big deals with headaches are irregular sleep schedule, inadequate sleep, inadequate sunshine and or vitamin D, and inadequate magnesium.
And then there's lack of an addictive substance.
And eye strain. Don't forget it. You might need glasses.
Eye strain, yeah.
Eye strain?
Yeah.
Eye strain can give you headaches if you're, like, struggling to focus, but you don't realize it.
Actually, yeah.
E-Y-E-S-T-R-A-I-N.
Oh, okay, okay.
If you need to see, like, an optometrist or something, could be a thing.
No, that's... Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Yeah, caffeine is actually a headache remedy, but caffeine withdrawal can be brutal.
Well, the thing is, I don't want to rely on caffeine every damn day.
It's relatively easy to wean yourself off it.
Yeah. How much am I supposed to be censoring for this show?
Say what?
How much am I supposed to be censoring for this show?
None. I'll cut out anything that's too personal or too... and I'll bleep out anything that's too vulgar.
Cool. All right.
Well, here we go.
I'm just kidding. Well, I don't want to be the one that makes all the bleeps.
That's probably me. I have a terrible, terrible, terrible... terrible Blumen.
We're going to have to have a contest about that. I don't know which one of us is more vulgar.
Have you had to bleep me yet?
No, I actually haven't been bleeping so far. I should have bleeped yesterday a couple times, but I didn't.
I think I swore a couple times yesterday. Yep. It would usually be me. This is very hard for me when I then go on the road for like presentations or whatever. And I have learned that if I'm being interviewed by a podcast, I have to ask. I have to be like, please tell me whether I could be whether you're explicit tagged or not. Because they don't always, because the Gail, you know, persona does not lead people to think that she is going to be vulgar in any way, shall we say.
One of my favorite things about
I got that vibe. Well, I have an aunt that you remind me of a lot, and she is very vulgar.
See? It's also that, like, you need to have read the San Andreas stuff, and then you're like, oh, right, okay, fine.
One of my favorite things about writing the Lantham books, Gail, is that I have modeled Rachel's mouth on yours. Mm. the opportunities for incredibly creative, desperately vulgar shit coming out of her mouth is just amazing.
Yes, that is my forte, is like not just swearing, but the swearing in a particularly ridiculously colorful way.
Yep.
Okay, that makes me feel better.
I'm really inspired, though. I have to like have barked my elbow or something, and then I'm like...
Or have someone T-bone you in the middle of Seattle traffic.
There's that, too! Yes, that also has happened.
That one actually made it into one of my books.
Yeah.
I'm the worst when it comes to driving. Calling people names? Tom's like, oh, yeah. He's back there like...
Oh, I'm creative when it comes to that.
I think it's just, you have to be if you're driving in certain areas.
You don't have to be. I mean, it's not helpful or anything.
It is helpful. It makes you feel a tiny bit better, but also worse. Maybe it isn't
worse.
Why does it make you feel worse?
Because then I'm like, wise, especially if I've been quite creative in my
Well, it makes me feel bad because I'm like, oh man, you know, maybe they're having a bad day.
And there's a certain amount of
I mean, it doesn't affect them unless if it's affecting your driving.
Well, it does because I send a lot of gestures to them.
Rolled down.
I can cuss at them all I want, even if the windows are rolled down. I'm usually going pretty fast.
Just because of the roads I go on. And so they know what's going on. They're like, she's mad. Me.
Yeah, I don't know any good gestures.
There is, however, a certain amount of satisfaction in putting together the kind of string of vulgarities in someone's earshot that makes them stop and have to walk it back to understand exactly what act you're describing while you make
it. Yeah, I've had some of those. Not that I've said those ones, that I've heard them.
I have to tell the funniest story, which needs to be prefaced by saying that I am the swearer in my relationship. My partner is not. My partner is very polite, very sweet. Said partner was driving. I am sitting in the passenger seat. It is a hot summer day. All the windows are rolled down. We're trucking along, and I'm telling a long and involved story about my mother, who is challenging. And we drive by a church. It is, I think, Sunday. And my partner, who never swears, says extremely loudly, "Fuck your mother." At this exactly the same moment, I look over and see this woman, like, church dressed to the nines, about my mother's age, walking right by, who clearly heard this, who... like a cartoon shocked expression.
Yes.
To me. Oh, and I, beautiful. looking her dead in the eye, just like lost my shit laughing, like at her expression, but really at my partner, who never does this kind of thing and got caught out by exactly the kind of person should be caught out by. And it was, and to this day, we drive by that church and it is called by us the Fuck Your Mother Church.
Oh no.
Yeah. It was great. It was so funny. I still laugh thinking about it. It's one of those things that always gets me. Because it was just like synergistically like this complete stranger so upset at us and me unable to contain myself. Like, I could not keep it straight. And I just like, just laughing at, like, so she got a double down. She got, like, sworn at, and then this strange woman just laughing in her face, like, loudly.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who does that. It's just like, if something funny and terrible happens, I'm like, I can't, I'm sorry, guys, I can't. I gotta.
And then the car, and then in our car, in our dumb suburban car, we just, like, take off and just leave her there. So she has to go home after that encounter.
Explain it to all of her family.
My favorite was also riding in the car with somebody, and it wasn't me that said it was you.
Oh no, what did I do?
Please tell.
We're heading home from a convention in Seattle, and the roads are slick as hell, and we're at a stop sign before a bridge that's canted and covered with ice, so we're trying to figure out the way around. I'm behind the wheel. I figure if I head in at a high enough angle, I'll be able to make it all the way around. And so I get going, and this idiot in a pickup truck turns left right into us, T-bones us, loses his grip, slides, pins us against the edge of the bridge, and then proceeds to scrape himself all along the side of the car. And then can't get going, and so his tires are spinning. He's trying to do a hit and run because he knows he's in trouble. And so meantime, I'm waiting for him to clear my door, and I'm waiting to get a shot of the license plate so I can memorize it. And she's sitting next to me trying to figure out where she left the profanity. So apoplectic. She's like, who the, what kind of, dude, oh my fucking God, dude.
For those who don't know, I am born and raised in California, which means dude is a expletive,
and it's worse than fuck.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
So dude, I must have said dude like 8 different tonalities and different ways in like one string. I would, dude,
that's very
dude,
good to know.
Dude!
It's for when nothing else will do. It's not actually a rude word, but it expresses a depth of exasperation depth that you can't get any other way.
Yeah, it was funny. That's when you know it's like when Hella is called for. Hella is still called for on certain occasions, but it is the opposite of dude.
Yep.
That was hella dumb, y'all. Like, I do that all the time. Oh my God, that's so good.
I have one that's not really explicit. I was napping, and my boyfriend was there, and apparently I screamed, "No, no, no, you spunky lesbian."
In your sleep?
Out of him. Yes, in my sleep. And when I woke up, I had no memory of this.
Oh, that
I still don't know what happened. I still have no idea what happened. I mean,
that's beautiful.
That is hilarious. That is a very good one.
Doesn't sound like me, in my opinion.
That's great.
Tori's asking for permission to steal that for her story.
Like, if I should, you spunky lesbian.
I would be honored, honestly, as long as it's all caps.
Of course, that's an absolute requirement.
And I get to hear the title of the book so I can find it.
It'd be a good title for this episode.
Actually. No!
Day 5. Oh, no. Day 5, the spunky lesbian.
That would be clickbait. That would be clickbait.
That is very clickbaity.
It would be dude, comma, the spunky lesbian.
And on that note, we clearly are a little out of it today. So, yep.
And I've still got to get today's episode up because that was the other thing I sacrificed to the headache today. So I've got to get to editing. But
on that note,
indeed, we'll see you all tomorrow.